Luke chapter 19. Tonight, I'm going to just read a verse of Scripture. This really isn't what this Scripture is talking about. But I'm going to just bring you a thought out of it, I believe, tonight without doing any damage to taking out of context or anything. I'd like to just bring you a thought from it tonight. It's one of these parables the Lord made. And when He'd make these parables, He'd tell them that the kingdom of heaven is likened to or as or something like that. And He'd use an illustration. He'll turn me up a little bit, fellas. A little scratchy. And verse 11 gives us this parable tonight that I'd like to read you about, 12 actually. And it illustrates it like this. I'll give y'all just another minute here. Everybody get settled down. Everybody get settled down. Amen. Now, tonight, if you're visiting, I don't always do what I'm going to do tonight. We're just going to have a little talk here, a little family discussion, you might say, for our church. And you visitors, you probably, if you're a member of a church, you can take it back to your church, wherever it is, and be like this. Like this morning, I just preached a straight gospel message for anybody, every Christian in the world. Tonight, I'm just going to talk to you just a little bit. Just like from my heart to your heart, just a minute. Imagine we sitting in my office, and I was at my desk, and you was on the couch. And I was just talking just to you as an individual, as a church member. That's how you ought to imagine yourself in a preaching service. You don't so say, boy, he really is telling old so-and-so. You know, I've heard people say, buddy, you laid it on them tonight, preacher. You missed the whole point. I ain't talking to so-and-so. I ain't talking to so-and-so. I mean, people actually get up and leave church and say, buddy, I'd give anything if old Sister Blabbermouth had been there and heard that. Well, she ain't here. I'm not going to fuss at you because they ain't here. We'll fuss at them when they get here. We'll preach to you because you're here tonight. And the parable is, verse number 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. This is one of the great parables on the kingdom of heaven. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now I'm going to stop reading right there because you know this story here. He's actually talking about giving them a little, like a little investment here. And what they were supposed to do, they're supposed to take what he give them and do something with it. Spiritually speaking, we're supposed to take what the Lord gives us, our time, our talents, all that stuff, and do something with it that God might bless us for it. And he got aggravated with this one guy who wouldn't do nothing with what he gave him. And he took it away from him, gave it to the guy that had a whole lot. And the thought that got me was, the bottom of verse 13, he said, occupy till I come. You know what the Lord done? The Lord just turned it over to them fellas. And he said, you do whatever with it you want to do. You can, if you can have a lot, you can have a little. You can do a lot, you can do a little, you can do nothing. You just do something with it till I come back. Ladies and gentlemen, it was not up to the Lord what happened to them pounds. It was up to them. He went to a far country and he said, occupy till I come. And I kind of believe that tonight. I believe a lot of times the Lord, it's blasphemy. It's blasphemy to say that God's doing everything He wants to do. That's wicked. You know God don't want nobody to be lost. God don't want nobody to go to hell. God don't want this world in the shape it's in. Now you talk about people, you talking about a different thing. And I don't believe God loves one group of people more than He loves another group. I don't believe He looks at one church and says, boy, I like them. I'm going to bless that church. I don't like them. I ain't going to fool with them. I don't believe God looks like that. In plainer words, I believe if you want a great church, you can have one. And if you want a dead one, you can have one. Amen? People say, I wish I was close to the Lord. Well, do you? If you want to be, you will be. Bible said, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. That's, I wish I was close to the Lord business is just a cop-out that we use to impress people to make them think we're spiritual. You're about as close to God as you want to be tonight. No, preacher, I'd really love to be. Well, the Bible said draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. He ain't playing hide and go seek, man. God wants to be close to you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to bless you. And so as we think about our church tonight, just quickly for a few minutes tonight, I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of church do you want? What kind of church do you want? Do you want a soul-winning church? Do you want a praying church? Do you want a shouting church? Do you want a growing church? Or do you want a so-so church, a dead church, a has-been church? God's been good to our church. God has been extremely good to our church. Our church is a modern-day miracle of God. And I don't say that bragging and say, oh, nobody but Jesus. Because the Lord knows it ain't me. He's done it in spite of me, not because of me. And I've held it back, if anything, many, many times. But I want to tell you something, brother. That God's power on a church and God's blessings on a church should never be taken lightly or should never be taken for granted. I heard a preacher say something the other day. It's Phil Kidd, who it was. He's talking on a tape. And he's talking about some other great preacher making some kind of statement. And he said, he made this statement. It scared me. He said they had never seen a church that God, the glory of God left off of to where it ever came back. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that was a scary thought. And I began to think about right here in McDowell County, churches that used to be powerhouses for God. And something happened through time. I don't know if we took it for granted. I don't know if sin got in. I don't know what happened. But tonight, it's dead as 4 o'clock, and the only enjoyment they get is talking about the good old days and what God used to do. Now, I don't want to wind up like that. I don't want us to be a church that all we talked about was the great time when God moved on the young people and the great time we had at camp and the wonderful camp meeting we had and all of that. They say when God's glory leaves a church, it seldom, if ever, comes back, and they become great bastions of dead orthodoxy, bragging about their convictions and their belief and their stance and have no life in them whatsoever. I don't want that to happen. Lord have mercy, I don't want that to happen. That's one reason I'm glad I ain't got a son. I always wanted a son, never did get one. And I'm kind of glad I ain't gone, because you ever seen these churches where the daddy, great church, and daddy dies and son takes over? It dies deader than 4 o'clock. I don't know why that is, but it seemed like it always happened. Once in a blue moon. You got an exception, like Brother Ralph in Asheville. You got an exception once in a while, but most of the time, it just don't work. And I'll tell you tonight, the question is, what kind of church do you want? All of our people here to go to our church, I want you to repeat something after me. We're going to use a little brainwashing technique here and make clones out of all of you. And then we're going to drink Kool-Aid after a while and kill all of you. But now listen, I want you to say this after me. You ready? I want you to say this after me. You ready? I'm serious. I want you to say this. Ready? Little slogan for tonight. What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? Okay? Are you ready? Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? Is that supposed to be, where's Miss Nolte? Is that supposed to be where? I'm telling you, that don't sound right. That don't sound right. I don't care what they say. If every member was just like me, all right, let's do it right, okay? Let's go. I'm going to preach it right whether you like it or not. All right, here we go. What kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? Ready? 1, 2, 3. What kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? Much better. That sounds a whole lot better. Now listen, have you ever asked yourself that question? Seriously, you think about it tonight. What kind of church would New Manna be if everybody in it was just like you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll stop right there. The imitation is being given, man. Well, let's think about it. Let's just think about preparing our hearts and getting ready for church, first of all. You know, I believe everybody ought to be ready to come to church. I believe that you should prepare your heart to come to the house of God on Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday night. And don't you? Do you think you should just get up, oh my goodness, it's 6:30, and just brush your hat and turn the ball game off and run out the door? Do you think that's the way you're supposed to come? Of course not. You should prepare your heart for coming to the house of God on Sunday. Some of you walked in here tonight, you look just like you woke up about 5 minutes before you walked in. And boy, you just, and you even forgot to comb your hair. And I'll tell you what, brother, you just barely made it in here tonight. And that's good, I ain't fussing at you. But wouldn't it be a great church if everybody prepared their heart before they come? My, 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 my. Listen, we had all these young preachers preaching the other night. We had about 13 or 14 of them sitting up here on the front row. And boy, they're just up here. You know what? Them boys was in here in the prayer room before the service started. They was up here on the front row fired up. They was shouting while the choir was singing. They was amen, glory to God, hallelujah. You know what the difference was? I could tell they prepared their heart because they had to preach. I began to think, what if every one of us prepared our heart like we was the one that had to preach that night? If every one of us come in here like we was the one going to have to preach, nobody would get to. I'll guarantee you. If everybody was ready to preach, nobody would preach. We'd all preach and nobody would listen. I mean, this place would blow sky high. The roof would come off this building. But you know what it is? You know what the problem is? Most people just come to church like, okay, I'm backslid, I'm messed up. Preacher, get my attention. Bless me if you can. And it's about the end of the service, you're finally getting tuned up. And by then, it's time to go home. Oh, I wish we had a church where when people walked in that door, or that door, that door, that door, that door, that door, or any of these doors, that they walked in with a smile on their face and said, preacher, I've been with God. God's going to do something here tonight. Rather, we've met to worship. We do that once in a while, and God comes, don't He? Don't God move every time we do that? I'll never forget that night we made that tape. Lord have mercy. We was going to practice up here about 5:30. And I walked in that door over there. And I'm telling you, it sounded like a team of wild horses was turned loose in that room over there. I never heard such in my life. It's like... It sounded like cowboys and Indians were killing each other in that. And buddy, you could feel God. I walked in, I said, hallelujah. Boy, preparations are being made. I'll tell you, it does make a difference. It does make a difference. I was preaching in a church, well, about down North Wilkesboro here the other night. And I was in there, and I was trying to find me a place to pray before the service. And I got down in a little old room, and there's some old women in this other room next door. Must have been the nursery, and I could hear right in there. And I got down, I was going to pray like this. I heard them old women in there, and one of them was saying, well, I'll tell you one thing. I just went right up there, and I just told that preacher what I thought. She said, you did? Yes, sir. And I told him a thing or two, and I tell you, I'm just not going to put up. I tell you, I'm going to tell him what I think, and he's not going to talk to me. And I was in there, and I thought, you old witch. Man, I tell you what. I said, listen, it ain't no wonder. And that place was deader than last year's bird nest, brother. That place was deader than 4 o'clock. If that had been enough praying for the man of God instead of talking about him, God might have come and fixed whatever was wrong in that church. I want to tell you, we need to pray and prepare our heart and study and get ready before we come to church. Most of you look like you spent a little while on that flesh. And I ain't complaining about that. I got to look at you the whole service. Most of you ladies, if you spent as much time on your soul as you did your face and your hair, you'd be a spiritual powerhouse. You know that? And I'm not saying that's wrong, Lord. Heaven knows. I mean, now, you know, us boys, we fix our hair and that's it. I ain't got no makeup on. I mean, this is it, man. But you girls, I mean, I'd hate to see what you really look like. I can say that. But I want you to know, brother, this evening, you spend all that time on your face. Lord, they mess with it and mess with it and mess with it and mess with it and mess with it. And some of them tear their real face off and jerk their eyebrows out and get a magic marker and draw them some muttons on there and torture themselves, man, just to try to look good. And that's your business. If you want to do that, it's your business. I wouldn't let nobody draw on me the magic marker or paint on me or stick holes in my body or nothing like that. That's your business. But I'll tell you what, if we would get our heart ready to come to church like we get our body, there is no telling what God would do here on Sunday when we walk in here. What kind of church would my church be if every member prepared just like me? What kind of church would my church be if every member prepared just like me? Well, let me say this. What about in attendance? What kind of church would my church be if every member attended like me? Can I say something to you without making you mad? If everybody in here were like some of you, there wouldn't be no use in having no Wednesday night service because there would be nobody here. You say, who are you talking to? You people that lay out of church on Wednesday night. I'm not talking about you that have to work. I'm not talking about you that have to live 300 miles from here and it takes you 5 hours. Some of you do live a long way and it's impossible. I understand that. God understands that. What I'm talking about is you people live 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away and can't even make it faithfully to the house of God. What kind of church would this church be if everybody, I'd feel mighty stupid coming up here on Wednesday night and a visitor come in. Where's everybody at? Well, they all decided to be like so and so. You know what you need to do? You need to take your Christianity more seriously. You need to get more serious with God. This is serious business. You need to be faithful to your church. Hey, I'm glad everybody don't get up on on Sunday morning and just go where they feel led. I'm glad somebody's got a sense of commitment. I'm glad somebody believes in taking their kids to Sunday school. Amen. If absence makes the heart grow fonder. I know some people that sure love their church. I talked to a fellow out here one day and I said, where do you go to church at? And he said, well, when I go, you know what they mean when they say that. When a man says that, he don't go to church. When a man says that, he went and seen Christmas play year before last and went to somebody's wedding or a funeral. He said, well, when I go up here at so-and-so. And I said, did you go last Sunday? He said, nope, didn't make it last Sunday. I said, what about Sunday before last? He said, yeah, I missed that one too. I said, well, what about Sunday before that? He said, no. I said, what is that preacher's name down there? He said, what is his name? Didn't even know the preacher's name. Boy, he's a faithful churchgoer, ain't he? Man, I tell you what, brother. Listen, I'd hate to see what happened to this church. This church would go down if some people attended like some of you people do. Amen? And I'll just let that go to bed. Somebody said it like Noah's Ark. They saw a cartoon picture of Noah's Ark, and it was sinking. And it was about halfway under the water, and there's some guy, one of the Shem, Ham, or Japheth telling Noah, said, I told you not to let them two woodpeckers on here. And that's what's happened to a lot of churches, buddy. They got some woodpeckers on them. Amen. That's right. Now, let me just say a thing about when we get here. When we get here, we don't need to be dead. We need some life. Amen? This ain't a funeral home. This am a delivery room. There's a big difference between a funeral home and a delivery room. You know why young people don't like to go to most churches? Because teenagers hate funeral homes. And I don't blame them. As a matter of fact, I think you're weird if you like funerals. Have you ever met anybody, they go to, anytime anybody dies, they go up and hang around a funeral home. There's something strange about somebody like that. Have you ever known anybody, I know people, don't matter who dies, they're up there hanging around a funeral home. And I mean, I'm glad somebody's being nice, but Lord have mercy, man. I mean, I hate to go around them places. You ever walked in a funeral home? When you walk in, well, let's set that atmosphere. The lights are real soft. You don't hear a sound. You got a bunch of people sitting there just like this. You walk in there, hey! You can't act like that in a funeral home. Everybody's like this. Yes, how are you? Yes, good to see you. Good to see you. Yes, good to see you. Hey, good to see you. Why do they do that, reckon? You say, well, there's somebody dead. Well, man, you're not going to bother them. Why do we whisper around a dead person? You know what I'd like to do, man? I'd like to put somebody alive in one of them things, buddy. About time it got real quiet, them a heart attack. But you know what? You know what? Why they do that in funeral? Yes, yes, good to see you. You got this organ music. I don't like that atmosphere. You watch teenagers, they'll go right in there and turn around and walk out. I don't blame them a bit. Son, I go in there and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Sign the little thing, and I'm out of there as quick as I can. Then you go to the average church, and it's just like it. You got them same people. Look like them same people. They look like they're in a coma, man. They're just sitting there. Have you ever been to church and seen a lot of times a bunch of older folks, and they're just sitting there like, man, they're pitiful. They look like one church, it got so bad. Suddenly a woman died in it, and they called 911 to come and get her, and they carried four women out before they got the right one. I mean, they're sitting there, I mean, like stone-faced, man. I mean, just petrified. And they do the same way. Yes, how are you? Good to see you. Now, I know we're a little bit overboard the other way. Y'all are too noisy. Man, sometimes in here, we play up mute, and you can't even hear it. Y'all are in here. I've heard people tell me, they say, I couldn't believe it. First time I come in that church, people were laughing, people were talking, all of that. You know why? Because this ain't no funeral home, man. This is a delivery room. Amen. Got that same spooky music playing. All right, let's look at the delivery room. You ever been around a delivery room? Much, much, much different. You got the woman, the mother-to-be in there. She's laying on a table, man. She's a-sweating. I mean, she's laying there saying, don't want it. I changed my mind. And the doc said, too late now, sis. You got it whether you want it or not. That's right, but they tried to change your mind there. They should have thought of that about 10 months ago. And you know what? You know what? Listen, brother, laying that scream. Out here's the daddy. He's walking back and forth like this. He's not asleep.
He's like this. Oh, 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 oh. Can I come in? No. What am I going to do? He's just like that. Nobody's asleep. Nobody's asleep. About that time, boy, the sweats are dripping. About that time, all of a sudden, new little born baby comes out, and everybody's grinning, and everybody's clapping, and everybody's hugging necks, and everybody's saying congratulations. That's what a church should be, not that funeral home atmosphere. Brother, there ought to be people in them prayer rooms with sometimes the sweat dripping off of us and praying, oh God, oh God, oh God, help us, oh God. And the boys walking back and forth saying, oh God, you can do it, you can do it, oh God, you can do it. And then we get up here and scream and holler and run around a little while, and then every head bowed. Newborn baby on the altar, brand new Christian born there, just like a little baby, and we all shake hands and rejoice over new life coming in. Brother, that's what a church should be. What kind of church you want? I don't know about you, but one guy said, well, all I do is we just study the Bible and I feed the sheep. What about all them that's going to hell? If somebody don't get saved once in a while, something ain't right. Unless you're in a concentration camp and can't find nobody. Amen? We don't want a dead church. We don't want an unfriendly church. Amen? Boy, if there's anything I can't, it hurts. Somebody said, well, Brother Danny, I come down there 2 or 3 times, and I tell you the truth, I just sat down and nobody made me feel welcome. And I always try to smooth it over. Most time that's not true. Most time people say, boy, everybody's real friendly. But you know, a lot of people are so shallow that they'll judge the whole church by how friendly you are to them when you walk in. And I know what y'all's problem is. You told me before. You said, Brother Danny, I hate to turn around and say glad to have you, because I've done that one time before and they've been coming to church longer than I have. You don't know who's a visitor and who ain't. Well, it ain't my fault you're a snob. You know what you ought to do? Turn around and look around you once in a while. All y'all see is the back of each other's heads. And I can see your face. I can see who's here and who ain't here. I can see who's liking this and who ain't. Who's miserable and who's sleepy and who's... I can see all that up here. Y'all just, you know, you just see the back of heads. So I guess it's hard. But listen, didn't it make an impression on you the first time you come to this church or some other church and people come here and say, God bless you, we're glad to have you. You ain't no use being an unfriendly church. Bible said he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Amen. And brother, when we get here, we need to make up our mind. We're going to do it. Let me just name off some sins of our church I wrote down this evening. That's little personal sins of new manna. I mean little personal things that I think needs to be fixed. Okay? Now you remember these. Okay? I just wrote these down this evening. Here's one. Talking and jabbering and running your mouth while the choir is singing. Boy, that's a shame. That ought not to be. You got all day to talk. You're going to have all night after the service is over. Shut your mouth while the choir's... You know what a lot of people think? They think the service don't start until I get up here and start preaching. The service starts at 7 o'clock. The service starts at 11 on the morning. When that choir... They're not just up here for a ritual, man. They're up here to be a blessing to you. You should listen to the words of them songs. It's rude. It's unchristian-like. And it's not right to sit there in life and cut up in fellowship while the choir's up here trying to sing. So let's try to do something about that, okay? I love you. You snobs. How about this? Standing out in the hallway during Sunday school. You got all morning, all night, and rest of your life taught in fellowship and go look at something out in the parking lot. Everybody here needs to be in this Sunday school class or in the Sunday school class you're assigned to. You say, not me, I'm big and mature and I don't need it. Well, come and we'll let you be the teacher if you know that much. Amen. How about this? Talking during the announcements. I know you talk during announcements because I see a lot of you. And then also, as soon as service is over, I have 50 people ask me what night the youth choir is going to sing or when this, and I just announced it 10 times. Announcements are supposed to be listened to. It's bad manners to talk while somebody else is talking. Yeah, some of y'all need some manners. But shut up when somebody's up here talking. Not only that, not singing during the congregational hymns. You'd be surprised when I look around here and I see people that don't sing when we're singing. Like that song, Anchor Holds, a while ago. Man, that's a great song. Y'all get into it. I looked around, I seen people, just at least one person, I remember in particular, just standing there like you. Everybody else, my anchor hold. And you know why you don't sing? Because you don't feel like singing. And that's a sorry way to live a Christian life, just doing what you feel like and not doing what you don't feel like. I hope and pray you don't run your whole life like that. Amen? Now the truth is, if you'll grab your songbook and say, though the angry rages, billows roll, something other, down my, something on my, gets my soul, da 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 da. I didn't feel like singing, I sang. I don't feel like preaching tonight. I ain't in a mood to preach. I don't feel like preaching tonight. Usually I do, tonight I don't. We say, why? Because it's my job and God gave me this job to do. And you don't do it because you feel like it. Amen? Open your mouth and sing when everybody sings. Buddy, listen. I hate to go into church and all you can hear is a song later. Sing, man. Sing. Okay? I'm talking about you people back there in the back, mainly. Sing. All right? How about this? Smoking on church property. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I cannot believe you'd light one of them nasty things up on God's house or on God's premises. Throw them nasty things down in your and on God's property. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now I'll tell you something. I think the president's gone off his rocker on this big anti-smoking thing. What a cop-out. Really, I do. Don't you? I mean, alcohol, all this stuff, and they're fussing about people smoking. I mean, I'm not saying smoking's the worst sin in the world, but listen, God's people ought to respect God's house and God's property enough not to throw them nasty things down and stand around out and blow smoke in three people's face coming in the house of God. Amen. Throwing chewing gum wrappers down out here in our brand new mulch. Amen. That's the man that put it down, the reason he said amen. What kind of church would my church be? Well, let's just all bring our trash up here and dump it out on the floor. We'll have to take it to the dumpster. You know where we find a lot of trash at, Brother Dale? Where you at, Brother Dale? Out in the hall talking? He's the one I meant a while ago when I was preaching on that. Now listen, listen. Where we find the most trash? You want me to tell you? Right over here. Right over here. Y'all are the ones right there putting trash in the pews and in the floor. And you ought to ask God to forgive you and quit that junk. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You're sweet and I love you and you're the best youth choir in the world. But that don't give you a right to trash up the house of God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And there's a lot up here. You would be a lot right around in here too. Where Brother Bruce sits. All right, how about this? Laying out on Wednesday night when the preacher's gone. We get phone calls wanting to know if I'm going to be here or not. Lord have mercy. What are you going to do if I die? I'll give you an excuse never to come back. How about this? Not being good to visiting preachers when they come around here. Hey, if a guy drives hundreds and hundreds of miles, come here and preach, gives up his time, he's giving up 24 hours a day with his wife and family and his own church, man, y'all ought to treat him like a king when he walks in here. Shake his hand. Get him to sign your Bible, kid. Be a blessing to him. Offer him something. Ask, tell him you appreciate it. Don't just turn around and walk out the door. Amen. Amen. How about this? Not singing in the choir. You say, I can't sing. Well, what makes you think any one of them up here can? You think everybody in the youth choir can sing? Some can, some can't. Get up here anyway. I think that's a bad impression on people, these empty seats up here on Sunday morning, and you ladies just sitting back there like ain't nothing in the world wrong with that. And don't get mad at me, it ain't my fault. I'm still waiting on some women to ask a volunteer to help clean up when we're getting ready to tear the walls out in here. I'm still waiting on some men to say the Lord laid on my heart to have a little ministry and keep the camp clean. See, Brother Don Bard back there, him and his wife, they kind of took on a little ministry. And they've been doing that mulch around the bookstore and keeping it mowed real neat. They redone, put flowers out here. Isn't that a blessing? But that's just a little ministry. They don't get paid for that. Just doing something for the Lord. Some of you guys can do that at the camp, man. Some of you guys, listen, the Bible, do something for the Lord. Do something for the Lord. Do you want to get something in heaven? Do it for God. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand do. Don't get paid for it. Just say, I love Jesus and I want to do something for him. He'll bless you for it. Amen. Well, gossip in church. We don't want to gossip in church. That'd kill a church quicker than anything. People running their mouth. Do you know the ABC store up here ain't never hurt our church that I know of? I went up there and turned around a time or two in the parking lot before I even thought. You know, I'd forget something, have to come back down here, whoop in there. Oh, Lord, here I got them pulling out that BC store. I've done that twice, man. But you know, they've never heard us. ABC store never heard our church. The guy who moved up here, to be the manager of that thing from way down Rutherford County got saved and wound up coming here to church. They ain't heard us. Listen, man, you know what hurt this church? You people sitting right in here tonight, sitting around at each other's house or out at Wendy's or after church on Sunday evening, saying, well, I don't understand why so-and-so gets all the attention. And I don't understand why Brother Danny did this. And I don't understand it. To me, I tell you what about old so-and-so. I just can't stand to be around that woman. Man, you must have demons in you to make you talk about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Wait, she done that. And I'll tell you, I'll never speak to her again. All that are the ones that don't do nothing. Amen? See, ladies, God never called none of you to make sure nobody gets away with nothing. And you'd be surprised at the women that think it's their job to make sure nobody in the church gets away with anything. Well, I'll tell everybody what she said. Buddy, when I get through with her on this, everybody, I'm not, how come you women think you can't stand it if you think somebody gets away with something, can you? Especially another woman. It drives you insane, don't it? Think that woman got by with something. You want to make sure everybody knows it so she'll get her punishment. What makes you like that? What if God give you what you deserve? One lady came up and said, oh, preacher, pray for me. I've been gossiping. I'm going to put my tongue on the altar. He said, ma'am, we got 40 feet of it here. Just double it over and let it flop on both ends. That's why the Lord don't call women to preach. But you think we're long? You'd never get out if they got up here. Oh, yeah, one more thing. I'd sling them pocketbooks and stomp them high heels, and you'd be here tomorrow evening, man, if they got up here. Now, I'm not saying men don't gossip. I'm just saying women gossip more and different. Sure do. Sure do. Women are weird. They are. They're the weirdest things I ever met. I ain't never figured them out. If you ever figure them out, you let me know. And if you women are honest in here, you'll agree with that. You know you're weird. Men are like this, you know, they're just the same old boring, dull thing all the time. And women are like, yes, no, well, okay, maybe, I don't know. Something ain't right. Something missing upstairs somewhere. They are an emotional wreck, man. Oh, we got one shouting right here. Yeah! Do you feel the need to come, sister? Yes! I'm just kidding. Now listen. Listen, man. They're weird, man. They're weird. And I don't know why God let that happen. But you know what you got to do, ladies? You got to keep your emotional side of you, under control when it comes to church. Comes to church. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That Sunday school said something to my little baby. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tell you what you do. You just sit down and shut up and mind your own business. And if your kid's being mistreated, we'll take care of it. I wouldn't let nobody mistreat one of my kids. But just calm down now. Just calm down. My soul. It's a miracle we ain't had World War III around here. Little, did you know our church this big and a town this little is unheard of? Most of them split 10 times by now. And the only things kept us from is God's Spirit. And we do have enough sense to know we got a cause here and God's in this place. And so we just hate each other in our sleep and go on and get the job done. Amen. That's right. What kind of church would this church be if every member was just like me? Would we get the balcony built if everybody gave like you did? You say, well, preacher, I know I made that pledge that night and all that, but I tell you, things got a little tight. Oh, you'll get it anyway. You always do. Well, I'm telling you, we ain't going to get it if everybody don't come through and a whole lot more. This thing going to cost a lot more than we thought. We're talking,
I forgot how many thousands of dollars worth just to steal. Just steal to hold it up. Brother Glenn's done been drilling the holes back there. There's a few holes in the floor. And by next week or the week after, you're really going to see a difference. You're really going to see a difference. For a few Sundays, I'll be able to stand right here and look at the water fountains. And I dread that. That's the way it's going to be for a while. But did you know something? It ain't going to happen if everybody's just like me or just like you, if we're not what we ought to be. We got to have that thing done for the glory of God. We need some people to say, hey, God's blessed us. God's put us here. And let's get the job done that He's given us to do. We'll work together, arm in arm. We might not see eye to eye, but we work arm in arm and get the job done that God's given us to do. All right, let's stand. Bow our heads with prayer. We're trying to hurry along tonight. We've got something special to do. Let's bow our heads. Let's just sing. We've already had one invitation, so let's just sing a song right quick, Brother John. Just a verse of anything. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now, if God's dealing with you about something, if God is dealing with you about something right now, now's the time to do something about it. Now's the time. Don't matter, even if it's something I said or it's something I didn't even say, if God's dealing with you about something tonight, you need to get your life right. This is the place to be, right here on this altar. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. Do what ought to be done. We love you tonight. God, we're absolutely helpless and powerless without your Spirit. Please, God, may the Holy Spirit move upon our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.